each member of the crew knew to have status updates ready at a moment's notice. And unlike most small independent vessels, the Fallen Angel had considerable overlap in crew specialties. When you ran stupidly dangerous operations varying wildly in parameters, it wasn't really an option.
"Engineering is green," said Bata, "which shouldn't come as a shock since we've been orbiting this moon for 2 days with no problems."
Grant smiled. Only Bata, more interested in the newest biocircuitry breakthroughs than space itself, would call that behemoth a moon. Technically, it was one, of course, but the damn thing was 50% larger than Earth. It orbited an ice giant nearly the size of Jupiter, just a few hundred light-years closer to the core.
"No radiation problems?" Grant asked. "I know the planet was cooking my suit pretty thoroughly."
Bata snorted.
"Nothing short of a laser fired by one of the gods themselves would hurt the Angel Cap. You know that."
"Yeah, yeah. I just like to hear you say good things about my girl. Ops?"
Bit Na Cho, his first officer, cleared her throat.
"We're solid here, boss. The boys are locking down the drones right now. We'll be ready to break orbit by the time you hit the bridge."
"Thanks, Crash," he said. Cho hated being called by her first name, preferring her call sign. "I'll be up in 5, unless anyone has exciting news to pass on." There was a click on the line, someone opening their mic.
Sir? I have something here. I'm not sure what I'm seeing."
Grant broke out into a cold sweat as he squirmed out of the bottom half of the EVA suit. That was Dex Chaplin talking, Bata's apprentice. The kid was smarter than anyone Grant had ever met, but meek. He never spoke up without a damn good reason. If he was injecting himself into the check-in, something was weird.
"I was hoping that bit about exciting news was rhetorical," Grant said, trying to keep the mood light. "What do you have, Dex?"
"It's the telemetry, sir," the kid said, his voice creaking at the edges. "I started copying over the drone memory as soon as we hauled them in, and I noticed some weird data spikes while I was glancing through."
"What kind of spikes?"
Dex took a deep breath, noisy enough for the mic to pick up.
"That's the thing. There was a 1.2-second blip where a section of space nearly a kilometer across registered bursts of electromagnetic emissions and gravitational distortions. I'd have to look closer, but first glance seems like a correlation in power between the two."
"Shit," Crash said over the channel.
"Did someone else gate in here without us noticing? This was supposed to be a nice, easy survey mission."
And it had been. After 8 months of taking the Angel through highly profitable but dangerous supply and escort missions between a warring planet and its moon, they'd taken this job at the edge of explored space as a kind of vacation. A way to make money without being shot at.
No, Dex interrupted again. "No one used a gate. The readings aren't consistent with the sort of energy you need to open a hole into the cascade."
"Then what the hell is it?"
Bata said. This, too, was probably rhetorical, but Dex answered because, well, he was Dex, and that was just what he did.
"In practical terms, it's impossible. Square sections of space-time don't suddenly give off flares of microwave radiation and register gravitational shimmies for no reason. Everything I know about physics tells me this isn't possible. Even if this weren't an order of magnitude below the threshold for getting into the system, we'd still be seeing a ship, right? Our drone was looking right at this patch of sky when it happened, full visuals, and it captured nothing."
Grant closed the locker holding the pieces of his EVA suit and slipped his feet into his boots. The boots tightened as he moved, though he almost didn't give them enough time to react. He darted to the tube set in the rear of the port bay. "Bridge," he said,